Welcome to the Circle Sessions, featuring the Circle of Experts. The Circle of Experts are Yasmin Robles from Robles Designs, Tanisha English Amamu of TJE Communications, and Don the Idea Guy. I'm Brett Johnson from Circle 270 Media Podcast Consultants. Each week, one of the Circle of Experts joins me to talk about some critical aspects of growing your podcast. We'll focus on marketing, social media, monetization, and website design with the idea of implementing all of these together. This week, Don is here with the Circle of Experts. He possesses creative powers beyond those of mere mortals. Don the Idea Guy rescues those in need of innovative ideas through his brainstorming sessions at $5 Brainstorms. Don, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back. How are you, sir?
Doing really good. And I like the lineup of stories we're going to be talking about in this episode because it's wide ranging. I love it when we can talk on different subjects. Sometimes it's nice to pull a thread through a lot of them, but sometimes it's nice just like, hey, this one's over here, this one's over here, and this one's over here.
Well, so, you know, it's towards the end of the year, so I was a little kinder with my selections. I usually try and pick one that we're going to be on opposite sides of just to stir things up. And I think going through these so far, we've been right in alignment as we pre-gamed a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, I agree. And your first one that we want to talk about is this some research that was done recently, some data showing that weekly podcast listeners, what they like and what they don't like in regards to the right number of ads in the podcast. And you know what? It's amazing that we're actually the listeners are in acceptance of this. There was a time when nobody wanted ads in podcasts.
Right. The right number of ads is none.
Exactly. And now we're talking upwards of four.
So what's your theory on that? Because I definitely have a theory on why.
Oh my gosh. You know, I'm not a lover of this. Now,
is your theory on why listener perception has changed?
Because it's just been there a long time and we're podcast listeners are accepting of it. I think podcast listeners are becoming a smarter and understanding that if they want their favorite podcast to remain in existence, the podcast host has explained enough that's like, to keep this going, I have to accept ads. There is a cost measure in doing podcasting. And this is the one way that I have found that's going to be efficient for me to make money and to keep this podcast going. I think they've heard that enough over the past couple of years that it's starting to make sense to them. I think that might be it.
I'll give you a maybe a little bit on that. Mm-hmm. I think in general, nobody wants to listen to ads.
No.
And what happened is they had all these podcasts out there with no ads in them and they loved it. And then it went from no ads to maybe a recommendation by the host, which doesn't feel like an ad, which mm-hmm. is a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
And then it was just egregiously abused and there were 10 ads in a 10-minute show and people went, oh my God, this is horrible. And then they get sent a survey on how many ads is acceptable. Like, well, as long as it's not 10, like I'll take two. I'll take two ads. I'll take three ads.
Yeah.
But yeah. They're getting bad. And, mm-hmm. and the more it's a reality that marketers ruin everything. So yes. As soon as you get marketing people and advertising people involved in any sort of media, let's shove some more ads in there. And as you see a rise in these popular solo and individual podcasts that are being picked up by networks, a great example, HubSpot Network. HubSpot's a great brand. Their HubSpot Network shoves ads. Like you got a pre-roll and then you got three ads back to back in the middle of it. And then you got a post-roll that, you know, nobody's going to listen to unless you can't get to the skip button in time while you're listening mm-hmm. in the car. But it's bad. It's painful. One of my favorite podcasts is Join the HubSpot Podcast Network. And I hate the ads now. It used to be they would do one ad promoting somebody who literally supported the show one-to-one.
Yeah.
And I would listen to it, or at least I wouldn't skip it. I'd just let it play. I'd drown it out. Mm-hmm. blindness like everybody. But now I skip it. And there's a setting in my podcast player, Pocket Cast, I think, that I can tell, Pocket Cast player, okay. Where I can tell it to start a show a certain number of seconds in and they have a 30-second ad at the beginning. This is a different show. I think it's Daily Brew or something. Mm-hmm. They've got a 30-second ad right at the beginning of every episode. And I just tell it to start 30 seconds in and I miss it entirely. And so the listeners are going to find a way around it.
And I think to your point of saying, hey, I'm okay with 10 minutes, as long as it doesn't do 10 minutes, because they know they can hit their skip button. They can make the skip button skip 30 seconds at a time. You can, right. Most players, you can control it. So, you know, if it's a 5 or a 3 minutes commercial set, you hit the thing 5 times and you're almost through it. I think that's why a piece of it is more accepting of it as well. So, but you know what? There's a yin and a yang to all of this. Sure. So therefore, I think that's why ads have become better. I'm hearing better ads, especially on the higher end quality shows. Like, let's put it like Smartless. Smartless has a lot of ads in it.
They have a lot of ads,
but they're not bad. They're done very well. They're smart. They're educational to a certain degree.
How many good ads can you stand to listen to in a row? Because they run, they're another show that runs all their ads in a row.
Right.
Why are you running all your ads in a row?
Right. By the same co-host as well.
Sometimes they'll switch. I did.
Yeah.
It's a great show. I listen to that show all the time too. Right. And sometimes they will shake up the host. You've got three hosts. Mm-hmm. You've got three ads. They should definitely have a rotation of the host, not all three done by one of the guys.
And when you're skipping,
how do you know which ad you're on?
Right. And you don't know where the money flow is, like who is actually being paid to do the spot and who wants to do the spot, or the advertiser saying, I want this one of the co-hosts to do my ad. Well, then you may have three ads together.
but still, why not? Oh man, I know. And that's a good example of a podcast to use too, because it's a longer podcast. All their episodes are at least an hour.
Yeah.
So you could easily put one ad in there after their intro, because their intro is always fun. Mm-hmm. They do their back and forth, their banter. Do the ad right before you introduce the guest. You gave the clues. I think I knew who it is. All right, we're going to reveal it right after this.
And
play
bingo.
One ad.
Yeah.
Play one ad.
Yes.
And then you've got the normal break where they have in the middle of the show, do one more ad, or even if you felt the need, play two of the ads there, but stop playing three there.
Yeah.
It's painful.
Yeah,
and I am going to skip them every time, even though I love those guys and think they're brilliant. How many times are you going to subject me to an ad?
Right.
I think the whole beginning, I won't even call it a pre-roll. Don't do a pre-roll because I'll use my app to skip you, but do a cool intro. You know, the great example I give for this, James Bond movies. When you watch a James Bond movie, there's an opening sequence that is a little movie within a movie. It's a cool intro. James is on an adventure, and then he makes his getaway and ends up on a parachuting off of a mountain and lands on the back of a yacht with a beautiful Bond girl. And then they go into the theme. Then it's the theme song.
Yeah.
Do that with your show. Start out with a great hook. Get into the show. Do a little feature. Then give me an ad.
Then
give me some show. Then give me another ad.
Well, and Smartless kind of does that. If you think about it, the banter is its own life.
It is.
It truly is.
That's why I'm using it as the example.
Yeah.
Because then they have their banter. Mm-hmm. What'd you do last week? They make fun of everybody.
Exactly.
Then they start giving the clues to who their guest is going to be. Mm-hmm. And right before they do the reveal, they should run an ad. We'll be right back.
Exactly. Even though everybody knows who it is because it's in the title of the episode.
It's still funny. It's still funny.
But it's still funny. They do a really good job of it because you're playing right along with it. But I think.
Because the other two guys don't know who it is.
They don't. Exactly. At least they don't know. If they do, they certainly play it well.
Because they love getting each other on that, because they'll throw out some false clues to try and get the person to bite onto another name.
Yeah. So, but I think. I think the research went even deeper in regards to what ads are acceptable. Well, so the question was, please indicate how interested you would be in hearing a certain type of ad. And the one that shows up really well in that you do hear often is ads that communicate features, benefits, and products or services. Well, again, that fits the medium. So basically you would be interested in it if it's about middle of the 5 questions asked, and what they do here, it's happening. So that's a good thing. And as well as, you know, podcasts that are funny and are entertaining, if you keep those three mixtures together, funny, interesting, and features and benefits, you may have a good ad, and maybe it doesn't have to be 60 seconds long. I know there are no rules and regulations and that sort of thing, but does an ad have to be 60? Because in a podcast, 60 feels like 90.
Well, the marketers haven't gotten onto this yet, but the perfect length of a podcast ad is 40 seconds.
I think it is too. I think 40 you're right.
Or 45 seconds, yeah. Because when I hear the ad, I skip. It's going to skip ahead 30 seconds by default. And then you've got me hooked for 5 to 10 more seconds where give me the hook, give me the hook and give me the call to action in that 5 to 10 seconds, because I'm not going to skip again because then I got to back up and find where it left off. So the perfect length of a podcast ad is 40 to 45 seconds, right? Yeah. Right in 44 to 45 seconds, because that's just the way it is. And you use the opposite advertising copy strategy that you use for YouTube pre-roll ads. Because in a YouTube pre-roll ad, you want to get your message and your call to action across in the first 3 to 5 seconds before the skip button comes on. Yeah. So if you can get me a great call to action and who's the save, you can save insurance in 15 minutes. Geico.
Oh, Geico
does the best YouTube ads because they're so good. You might even watch the whole ad, but you get everything you need. You get the joke, you get the payoff, you get the call to action in the first 5 seconds. Right. In a podcast ad, you want to reverse that. You want to have that information in the last 5 seconds because everybody's going to skip. And if they don't, then great. You have a good ad and then end with a great call to action. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, that's the podcast advertising strategy more people should be using.
Yeah, I agree. So again, it comes down to preference. You got to stay in contact with your audience and kind of look at the analytics. Are people dropping off? Are you getting feedback about too many, you know, the ads are bad, if they're, you know, too long? There are a lot of nuances to it. I personally think there's much easier ways to make money on a podcast. We've talked about numerous ideas on how to make money.
Right. Well, they're talking about the size. I mean, if you've got the size where you can get those big national ads and you're going to take advantage of the listener, the download and the impressions you get, good for you that you built an audience that big. You mentioned the type of ads that are popular and the services and that kind of thing. I still think those are the ads that are at scale, because all the big ones, you know, all the accounting software and the SaaS products and those are the same ads on every podcast. It doesn't matter which podcast you're listening to.
Yeah.
But if I'm listening to a writer's podcast coming off of NaNoWriMo, the National Novel Writing Month, I was listening to a writer's podcast, and it's not a huge podcast. It's a good podcast. I think it is a popular podcast. I don't think they're getting the numbers that you would need for a big national advertiser. So they're doing ads that I think would be even more popular if podcasts were to do this. And this is the in-context ads. So when I'm listening to their podcast, I will hear an ad about a writing tool, you know, writing software, or I'll hear an ad about a book that's from an independent author. So if I'm listening to that podcast, I'm an independent writer, independent author myself, or I'm interested in writing, that kind of stuff is in context with my interests, rather than just saying, oh, a services ad would be of interest. Hell no. When I'm listening to, we were just talking about it with the three hosts.
Oh, Smartless.
If I'm listening to Smartless, I want to hear ads for the different projects those three idiots are involved in. Like, I want to hear a movie preview for the next movie that they're in, or I want to hear the TV show that they're going to be in, or I want to hear stuff in context, the next comedy club tour they're going to be at, that kind of stuff. It fits in context and still an ad.
Yeah, exactly. And I am judging some podcasts for, I can't name the entity because I'm in a cease and desist right now because of the judging is going on, but it offers the opportunity for me to listen to podcasts I would never listen to. And I chose, or I was given the business category, and there's one podcast, I can't think of the name, but it's, legal marketing for, lawyers. So all they talk about is very niche marketing advice and such. And I'm hearing ads that are very specific to lawyers.
That's awesome.
But you know what? They don't fit the entertaining. They don't fit the funny. They fit the benefits.
Contextual.
It's perfect for that. And I bet they're making good money on it, because how many legal marketing podcasts are there? Maybe a handful. I don't know.
The response rate has to be great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. As well as, you know, whether it's their downloads are big or not, they know exactly who their audience is.
Well, it's, you know, as a friend of ours has said before, you don't need 5 million impressions if you can get 5 of the right ones.
Right.
Because a lot of people are buying 5 million impressions because they're going to get 5 conversions. Mm-hmm. But if you have the right ad to a small audience and it's the right ad, you might get 5 conversions with 5 listeners.
Right.
I mean, if you're a lawyer listening to that lawyer, How to Market as a Lawyer podcast, mm-hmm. and you hear an ad for a social media tool that's so easy a lawyer can use it, well, it's going to get your attention. It might make you chuckle. You might check it out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Moving on to Spotify Premium. Their subscribers in the U.S. can now enjoy 15 hours of free audiobook content each month, with best-selling titles making up 70% of the catalog. That's really interesting. So you're a big audiobook listener. What do you think about this?
I think this is great. Okay. Great news, great evolution of what they were trying to do. As some folks might know, Spotify rolled out audiobooks for sale on their platform and kind of ran into trouble with the mobile payment systems through Apple and Android, because they take such a big cut of the payment when you make a payment on the apps, that they had this workaround where you had to go to Spotify on your desktop or mobile browser, buy the piece in there, buy the book you wanted in there, and then you had to go back to the app and listen inside the app, because they did not want to share that revenue. And I get why they didn't want to. It's a huge amount of money that they're taking. I think it's they're actually being sued. I think they lost a lawsuit in England or Europe someplace.
Yeah, I think
about
so too.
That very issue for a web app game developer. Mm-hmm. But for Spotify to realize they had those pains, and they knew it was bad, and the agreements on the mobile platforms were such that they couldn't even say, we're doing this because of this problem. They weren't allowed. They weren't even allowed to say, like, click here to go to our portal to buy it. It was so bad. So when they're having those pains and people are like, wow, I'm not sure I would, there was certainly no price benefit. The titles are very expensive. They're your full retail. And this came out of left field where they went, all right, well, if you're a paid premium user already, no matter which level you're paying at, mm-hmm. you get free audiobooks. And 15 hours is a long time in an audiobook. That's like three books.
That's true.
Most are 5 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and what a great opportunity to sample a couple of books. And it's not every book in their catalog is available. Only certain ones are available for streaming. And they've done a really good job of breaking down the audiobook into nice bite-sized chapters where it may only be 5, 10, or 15 minutes. So it makes it easy to listen to, almost like a track on a album you might be listening to on Spotify. Hmm. Relatively easy to jump in and out. A little bit harder if you stop listening in the middle of a chapter. Hmm. But it's strong. I've been listening to it for a few weeks now. I do enjoy it. I still mostly use Spotify for music. It never caught on with me as a podcast platform, but audiobooks, I could see this working, especially if you give it to me as a benefit as a paying user. I've been a long time Audible member. I was a member of Audible before Amazon bought it. The integration here between Spotify music and Spotify audio is stronger than Amazon's. Amazon books and music is still separate from Amazon Audible books, because every time I want to click to buy an Audible book, it opens up Audible's platform, mm-hmm. even though I use my Amazon login. But I've built up such a library, I've got such a bookshelf there of Audible books. I don't think Spotify is going to convince me to be 100% convert, but making it available for 15 hours a month certainly got me to test it out.
Right. It certainly has the opportunity to bring new earballs, let's put it, to Spotify, which can benefit podcasters. But at the same time, if they're listening to an audio, we only have X amount of hours to do what we want to do for entertainment per day. So you could argue, I guess, that, hey, if you're a book listener, your audiobook listener, you're an audiobook listener, whatever platform you are. But if they're on Spotify already listening to a podcast, which is audio storytelling, it can be, at least Spotify is somewhat training the listener now to think of them more than just music. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where this goes, because I still see the research showing that if you listen to podcasts on Spotify, you're really only listening to one or two.
Oh, really?
Because Spotify in your mind is a music platform.
I had heard that spec. That's definitely interesting. I had not heard that data. Yeah.
So the podcasters I work with, when they have them on Spotify, it's really great analytics. I'm telling you, it's strong stuff that you can really, really see inside who's listening to you. But it's still, you know, second compared to Apple by a margin, by a large margin. So I don't know whether that creeps up things or not. Obviously we can't rely on one platform or a multitude of platforms. You got to be everywhere if you're a podcaster. Same thing if you're an audiobook. You got to be in as many places as possible. Audiobook creators and authors are probably loving this. It's another touch point.
Well, it's going to depend on the data Spotify ends up sharing about conversion. So if I'm an author and I have an audiobook and I learn that Spotify is playing it for free, how do I get paid for that? You know, first of all, how do I get paid? Amazon has figured it out on the Kindle because they have the Kindle Unlimited and the authors get paid based on how far a reader progresses into the book. So is Audible's audiobook royalties similar to that? How much of the book they listen to is how much an author gets? I wonder how that works. And then if I find out as an author that doing the sample there equates to a purchase, like, oh yeah, I find that one out of every 50 freemium listeners end up actually buying the book. Okay, well now I'll promote it. Yeah, absolutely. Listen to it for free on Spotify. And now I'm sending people to Spotify to listen to it.
Yeah. Well, I would argue that Spotify has already opened the door that podcasters put their content up there for free and get no money back.
Yeah, an author's not going to do that. Not most authors. Most authors aren't going to do that.
But they are already, correct?
Spotify?
On Spotify, you're not paying for that book, correct? When you listen to it.
I'm a premium user, so I'm paying for access to the platform. I'm curious. If I listen to a song on Spotify, the artist gets paid, the musician, the band. So if I'm listening to an audiobook, my expectation is the author's getting something. If I read a free book on Kindle and a free book on Kindle Unlimited, I'm a subscriber to Kindle Unlimited. So part of my payment, and I know from other authors who have books on Unlimited, they get paid on a sliding scale of how many pages get read in the book. So my theory is Spotify has to be working under the same operation, or we'd be hearing a lot more headlines about authors complaining that they're not getting paid for their free books that are available on Spotify.
And that's true. I've not heard that. That's what comes to mind. Are they? I don't know. Yeah, exactly. And maybe it just hasn't come to a head yet. They've started this when? Back in November, was it that they started
It's been a couple of months.
A couple of months. Okay.
I mean, the books have been on there for longer.
Okay.
But the free availability of the books has been much less. Yeah.
It's interesting how podcasters have just taken it everywhere they are. They never get paid for their content. I don't think that's true.
Well, who's not getting paid?
Anybody that has their podcast on Spotify, that's not a Spotify podcaster. Right. That's not a Spotify.
That's 100%
original.
True. Yeah.
They get screwed in the end. Though, again, we don't have a collective lawyer.
It's like
scheme.
A blogger. A podcast is an audio blog.
Exactly.
And bloggers aren't getting paid where that gets shown either, unless you put it behind a paywall. Yeah. And you could do the exact same thing with your podcast. You can put that behind a paywall.
But you can.
If you're out there to build an audience and convert them to buy some other services that you're doing, if you're using it as a sales call, that's the idea. But these authors, you know, the Stephen Kings and George R. R. Martins, they have an audience. You got to pay them.
Right. And they're represented well. And I guess that's my point, that we don't really have great representation in this world yet. I don't know anything. I don't have any tea leaves to read. We're not unionized, quote unquote, to make this work. But again, it comes back to that. Okay. If you do want to monetize what you're creating here, you got to go a different direction. And podcasting was never designed as an advertising medium anyway. It's very existence of anonymity makes it a poor advertising medium. You know, any analytics that you get with your podcast, you don't know who's listening. For the most part, you don't know how long they've listened to unless they listen to a specific player like Apple, or they use the player embed code that's given to you on your hosting platform, then you can judge that. But that's not holistic. Everything is anonymized.
Yeah, but that's the entire advertising industry. That was how the advertising industry was built.
Yeah.
Original radio broadcasters couldn't tell you anything about their audience. They can barely tell you anything about it now. TV, they can tell you anything about it. Newspapers, they can tell you anything about it. So I don't know. I think that podcasting is built for advertising.
Oh, really? Level. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
If you're going to get paid for it, there's different strategies, right?
Yeah.
So why are you building it? What do you want out of it is the first thing you should ask before you start any project.
Correct. And what I'm meaning is true marketing, know who is listening and that sort of thing. Obviously that's valuable information, but you're right. Radio stations don't really know other than research they do.
Or the fake stats.
Yeah. Or you put qualitative in any fashion that you want to make it look good. We played those games. You know, both you and I have. You never show something that you don't look good in.
Yeah. So, I mean, and look at the resurgence of programmatic now.
Yeah.
Because of the problem with the third party data, mm-hmm. a lot of things programmatic. Now, they can still give you general terms about how many people are listening, but in the early days of newspapers and radio and TV, that was all made up. That was estimates of a guess. They didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
It's gotten better. Mm-hmm. But same thing with the podcast. I mean, at least you can point to a podcast or your blog and say, I got X amount of people that came to it. Mm-hmm. And if you can survey your audience, you can find out some general information about, hey, you're listening to my podcast. What kind of books do you read? Oh, well, 80% of the people who replied to my survey like mystery books. Mm-hmm. So that's great. You brought up an excellent example of you wondered about the data Spotify was getting about its listeners being able to pair the type of music one of their members listen to with the types of books they listen to. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. I would be intrigued to know, okay, if you're a mystery listener, what type of music do you like? Yeah. What's the DNA in that? I think that would be really interesting.
I want to see that on next year's Spotify Wrapped report. Like,
yeah,
you listen to the Beastie Boys and you love, the Flowers in the Attics novel. I kind of want this bizarre disparity.
Oh, big time. Exactly. And then go off on like, how in the world does this happen? Yeah. It's like, hey, we all have our feminine side. You know, I mean, whatever the case may be. Yeah.
You listen to Black Flag and other punk rock artists and enjoyed 40 hours of Nicholas Sparks novels.
right. It would be so fascinating to see that. And you know, it's in the works. It's got to be, because they love cross pollinating. So. It's all there. Why wouldn't you connect some dots?
I will love seeing my friends post their Wrapped.
Yeah. Then you start to see these authors do rock stadium tours because they know that
your opening act is going to be a reading.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
Or you could have bands open for the author tours. The author's going around to bookstores and you're going to have someone. I don't know if you heard me clicking away on my keyboard over the audio or not, but I did look up about authors getting paid for their audiobooks on Spotify.
Okay.
And the response was, according to authorsguild.org, Spotify negotiates different deals with each publisher, of course, and authors are paid based on either the percentage of a book. Let me try it again. Different deals with publishers and authors, and they're paid based on either the percentage of a book a user listens to or how many hours they listen to a book. So according to authorsguild.org, the payment's triggered when a user listens to about 10 to 20% of the book. However, some authors, will generally only get paid if a person listens to their entire book. And that has a lot to do with the audiobook services or the author's deal with the publishers. According to goodereader.com, authors claim they're being deprived of their claim to royalty for the 15 hours of audiobook listening that users are entitled to each month. So maybe there's a top 15 hours that are part of the free paid. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would imagine that's going to change because authors need to get paid. That's using their content. Yes. They get paid by writing the book and selling the book. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to pay them, then the authors ought to have that option to opt out,
right,
just like the bands on Spotify do, mm-hmm, and the artists on Spotify do for the music.
Right, right. And you know, you bringing that scenario, a couple of scenarios up, how will this evolve on Spotify Premium?
Yeah.
So the 50, you know, you, obviously, this is probably a lead-in to try to get as many ears onto Spotify Premium. Then, you know, the free 15 hours probably is not a sustainable working.
Oh, I think it should. I mean, you well, think, the others.
I don't know.
The others. I would, keep in mind, not all the titles are available in your free 15 hours.
True. True.
So I found something interesting. One of the authors I like is John Acuff. He writes a lot of business stuff. He wrote a book, mm-hmm, called Start. He wrote a book called Finish. And I like his stuff. Well, I already own his print books and sometimes the ebook, but I had not purchased the audiobook. So I wanted to see. He's got a book on goal setting. I think it's All You Need Is a Goal or something. I'll feel bad if I get his title wrong, but he's got a new book out on goal setting for the new year. Mm-hmm. So I was going to go in and listen to that. And I'm looking at the other titles that are available from him, and some of his books are available, but not all of his books are available. So what a great way to sample an artist, mm-hmm, sample an author, and then go back and listen and pay for the privilege of listening to something else. And I'm kind of surprised that some artists, musicians, aren't set up the same way. Like, yeah, you can listen to Taylor Swift's greatest hits, but if you want to listen to all of her music, you have to buy the album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you see a rhyme or reason in to what books were available or not? Were they?
Nah, because it was interesting. Okay. One of them, I was surprised that a relatively new release, I think it was the goal setting book,
okay,
was available, even though it was a new release. But he has a book called Start and Finish. There's a book called Start and another book called Finish. Mm-hmm. And I think Start was available, but Finish wasn't.
Hmm.
So it was interesting that this older book was, the newer book was, but the book in the middle was not. But I think that's following a similar theory to when Amazon Kindle has specials on books. Yeah. So there's a series of books by an author that you like, and you get an email from Amazon saying, oh, book 5 in the series is on sale for $1.99. Okay, well, book 1 through 4 is still full price. So are you going to buy the middle of the series for the discount and not start with the first book?
Right.
That's a weird thing for me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, time will tell. I think it makes sense for them to be in this space. It just depends on how they cultivate it over time.
I think they're off to a great start, though.
I'm
encouraged
so
by making, yeah, that available to already paying users.
Yeah. So I saw this posted by Seth Godin, who we both love. It was on LinkedIn, and it's eight marketing maxims that pretty much are truisms that you should follow religiously, I guess you could say, that, or they always seem to be the truth, that they come to fruition. And I thought it would be a nice way to end our year talking about them in regards to how you market yourself, your podcast, your business, because most of these things do hold with however you look at what you're trying to market. Let's put it that way.
No matter the category. I mean, this is just real life. You can apply these or change a word, mm-hmm, here and there and apply it to anything you got going on with your life, whether it's marketing, whether it's podcast programming, building an audience on any platform, or just your life. So Seth always has great stuff. When you shared this article, it seemed a great way to end the year on it.
Yeah.
Why don't you roll down all 8 of them and let's go back and chop them up.
Yeah. So number 1, trust is worth more than attention. Number 2, helping people get to where they seek to go is more effective than hustling people to persuade them to go where you're going. That's a lot to think about. That's a nice one to break down. We will. Number 3, choose your customers, choose your future. 4, tell 10 people. If they don't tell the others, make a better product. That hits so home run for podcasters. 5, creating the conditions for the word to spread is the job of the marketer. 6, customer service is free. 7, quote, you'll pay a lot, but you'll get more than you paid for, unquote, is a useful motto. And number 8, act like people are watching. They are. I love these. I love these. Yeah. So number one, trust is worth more than attention. Yeah.
I mean, look, before we dive too far, let's start with anybody who may or may not be Seth Godin fans.
Yeah.
Seth rarely shares anything that is 100% original, but he puts excellent spins on things that are already out there. Yeah. So if you heard Brett read those eight and went, I heard that before. That's not for me. He's just taking and putting another spin on it. And just because you heard it somewhere else doesn't make it any less true. So, so don't take the attitude of, oh, I already knew that, or I already heard that before. Ask yourself, as my friend Jeffrey Gittimer says, ask yourself, how good are you at it? So keep that in mind while you're reading through it. Not, I know, I already know that. Ask yourself how good you are at it.
Mm-hmm. So, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. You're number one. I'm sorry. Trust is worth more than attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
How can you get anybody's attention if nobody trusts you?
Exactly. Talk about a spinning gerbil wheel that you're just continually running to try to get people's attention, but that trust slows it down. And all of a sudden you're friends for life with trust. You are friends for life with trust.
Think about every ad for a car dealer you've ever seen. They're really good at getting people's attention. They shout louder than anybody. They buy more ads than anybody. But how many of them do you look at and go, oh, I totally trust that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to send my grandma to him to buy her car.
Yeah, exactly. Two, helping people to get where they seek to go is more effective than hustling people to persuade them to go where you're going. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually just read an article that it talked about this concept in different words. And it was basically every company out there has come up with their buyer persona and their new focus on quality. And they're going to keep pitching you on their program, their internal programs, trying to get consumers to buy a car based on their 12-point inspection checklist. When, why don't you help the person buy a car that works at a good price? Not to dwell on car dealers this much, but just the first example that came to mind. Help your audience, help your customers get what they need.
Understand
them just going, we need to sell more of package C.
Right. Understand their pain point and address it and fix it.
Solve their problems.
Solve their problems. Yeah. Number three, choose your customers, choose your future. Yeah. Understand who you're marketing to, who understand the content that you're creating. Who's that? Who's the listener? Who's the reader?
Who's the listener? Who's the leader? Yeah. Who's the reader? Who's the buyer? Right. If you choose your wrong customer, you're not going to get what you want out of the project.
Mm-hmm.
You're choosing an audience that has no interest in the content you're producing, they're not going to listen to you.
Right. Right. And that leads into number four, tell 10 people. If they don't tell the others, make a better product.
Yeah. Produce a better show, record a better episode. Yeah.
You know, it really doesn't get much simpler than that. If you think about it, you break it down. If those 10 people, you cannot activate those 10 people to tell other people about what you just told them you're doing or creating or selling, change it.
Or, you know, you jump back to three, which did you choose the wrong customer?
Yeah.
Did you choose the wrong listener?
Right. Right. Exactly. Number five, creating the conditions for the word to spread is the job of the marketer.
I'll give you my take on this because I'm actually using you as my example.
Okay.
So you have assembled this circle of experts that you do this podcast for, and you're obviously driving the bus on this project. You're scheduling the recording sessions, you're producing them, you're publishing them. But every time you send an episode out, you email the team, you email the circle and say, hey, here are the links to the episode. Here are the graphics you can use in your post. Here's a cut and paste social post. Here's the link. Here's the page to send them to. You're creating the conditions for us to help spread the word about it. So if you're the host of a podcast, if you're producing a podcast and you want those 10 people in the tip before this to go out and tell other people, how easy are you making it for them to tell other people? Do you have a good domain name that people can remember to share? Do you have a one click button that they can press to share this in their social media? You're enabling them. Make it easy for them to tell a friend. Make it easy for them to share a podcast. I mentioned my podcast player, Pocket Cast. When I'm listening to an episode, and Brett, I'm sure, has gotten some referrals, and I'm listening to something, I can click on a button inside that player and I can either send him a link to the entire episode, a link to the podcast itself, or I can send him a link to the exact moment in the podcast that I'm listening to, the timestamp spot. That is creating ideal conditions for me as a user to share that with other people that I think would be interested in it. So that's what I get out of that,
Max. That's a much better explanation of it. Yeah. Personally, number five was the hardest to get my head wrapped around, but you explained that very, very well. That because there's that, it's a mixture of a lot of words there. There's like marketer, conditions, word spread. That sort of thing.
Hey, audience.
Yeah.
Send us an email. Go to the website and send us an email, leave a comment in a post. Let us know how it affects you. How would you put that maxim into effect?
Exactly.
The next one I think is awesome. I love this one. Customer service is free.
Yeah.
Here are a couple other truisms to go with with that maxim. Bad customer service is free. Good customer service is free. There's an awful lot of people out there handing out bad customer service because it's free.
Yep.
And they forget that good customer service is free too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm a huge fan of Bar Rescue. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes in to rescue these bars that are doing poorly. And every single episode, I've watched 5 seasons so far, every single episode, he walks into the bar and it's disgusting. They didn't clean the kitchen. They didn't clean the bar. It's gross. And you hear them tell the sob story about how they're so deep in debt. Times have been hard and it can't get people to work. And he goes, yeah, man, I'm with you. My sympathy. But cleaning your kitchen doesn't cost you anything. Why is it a mess? You don't have any business. You don't have any customers keeping you busy. Why isn't your kitchen clean?
Right.
And you're like, how are you going to argue against that?
You don't.
Customer service is free. It doesn't matter if you have one customer or 1,000 customers, treat them right. And if you're not treating them right, there's nothing anybody can do to help you.
Right. Exactly. Number 7, you'll pay a lot, but you'll get more than you paid for is a useful motto. That I have to write and put on my computer screen everywhere I look.
Because your prices are too high.
Yeah, we get beaten up all the time. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, cost too much. No.
I get it cheaper someplace else.
Then go do it.
A better response though is we are asking you to invest. Yeah. It tells us you're serious about you. It puts a value on my time as an expert. I can only work with so many clients. Mm-hmm. I need to know you're in it too. Yes, I am asking you to pay more because you can get everything cheaper everywhere else. You can go to a 99-cent store and still find it for free on the curb someplace. You can always get it something free. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm asking you to pay a little more, but you're going to get more than what you paid for. And that's that last part I think is missing from a lot of people's response to the, this costs too much, you cost too much, you're too expensive line.
Yes, I think you're right. It balances that whole saying out, and you're meeting them where they are saying, yeah, I agree.
Yes,
but
charge a lot.
You're right. But we get results and you get more of them what you pay for. Exactly. And finally, 8, act like people are watching. They are. I think that is extremely important, especially if you're starting to take your, now that we're opening up even more and more, to be able to be in front of people, networking, representing yourself as a business, as a podcast or whatever you're doing, get used to that. You are who you are and you represent what you do. The trust, all the previous 7 come into play for number 8.
Well, I think the act like people are watching is a bigger statement. I mean, think about social media and YouTube and everybody's got a video camera in their pocket. And if you're misbehaving out in public, somebody's recording you.
They got you.
And if you don't think they are, you're crazy. Because I know all of our listeners have watched a video somebody sent them about that woman in the Chipotle that threw her burrito in somebody's face, about the parents who are yanking their kids in the stores, the people are cutting people off in traffic, taking people's parking spaces or shouting them down. They are watching. So behave yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And at this time of season, Santa's watching too.
Exactly. Well, great. You know what? If a listener wants to get a hold of you, Don, to really flesh out, let's say that they want to talk more about these 8 maxims from Seth with you, because I think we really did a good job of talking about them. But at the same time, how can we utilize them for our business to, you know, brainstorm with what you do, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, the best place to reach me is at DonTheIdeaGuy.com. And that's a really great idea. If you are interested in talking about any one of these, I'd say you could do a focused brainstorm on, like, how do we choose the best customer to choose our best future? Yeah, schedule a brainstorm on DonTheIdeaGuy.com. We'll meet online over a cup of coffee and get you some solid ideas on how to get the right customers for the right results that you want to have for your business. Right. So visit me at DonTheIdeaGuy.com, and I'm on all the socials too.
Right. Yeah. If you want to talk about podcasting and what it can do for your business in the next 12 months, give me a holler, whether you're B2B or B2C. We create a content marketing strategy that's going to work for you. We're going to include a lot of those maxims that Seth just talked about as well, too. It's universal with everything you do. And I think it's important to look at that with what you do with any content creation. So you can contact Circle 270 Media at circle270media.com. Got a calendar there to book some time. Let's talk. Let's get you going. Or let's take a look at what you're already creating and you want to do better with it. There's just pieces to it, or it just something's not clicking with the podcast. Let's do a review of it. That's a great way to start. It's not necessarily throwing out the baby with the bathwater. It could be just tweaking some things that are just not quite clicking with the podcast. And let's take get a second pair of ears or three pair of ears. We'll get Don involved with reviewing your podcast.
And Brett has... Brett's right. It's B2B, B2C. Brett has all the letters. Brett has all the best letters. B2B, B2C, D2C.
Yep, exactly.
LMNOP, XYZ. He has them all.
Exactly. And with that note, until next time, we'll talk to you then, Don.
Bye.